Welcome to the Global Marketing Show, the podcast for all things international business. I'm your host, Wendy Pease, president of Rapport International and a translation expert. Come along with me today as we talk to an expert in the global marketing world about facing their biggest fears, hearing about mistakes they made or saw, discussing best practices, and sharing fun travel language and culture stories. Welcome to this week's edition of the Global Marketing Show. I'm very excited to welcome Vivica von Rosen. And she is a hot ticket, I'm telling you. She's a LinkedIn expert and speaker. She's one of Forbes' top 20 most influential people. She's the author of LinkedIn Marketing in 1 hour a day. And she also worked on LinkedIn for Dummies. She's got over 43,000 followers. And did you know we share 153 connections?
Well, there we go.
Yeah, quite a number. She's co-founder and chief visibility officer at Vengresso, and you have a master's in religion and culture.
You did your research on my profile. That's hidden way down below.
Yeah, but it's always, I always look for what people studied in school to see where, you know, if they studied what they ended up doing. And I don't, maybe Paul Barron. Fanatic. So I have to ask, when did you first harness the power of LinkedIn?
You know, I was introduced to it in 2005. I was running a co-share space at the time. Which I discovered I'm really bad at managing people. So that was probably not the best thing to be doing. But we always did these live networking events, you know, back when you could meet people face to face. And I brought someone in, my friend Lori Makeover, to talk about Web 2.0. So that kind of shows you how long ago it was. And at the very end, she mentioned, you know, how you could be using the internet for business now. And she mentioned this thing called LinkedIn. And at the time, I think there were 7 million members on LinkedIn. I thought, oh, wow, 7 million members. And we had a virtual aspect to our business. Like, wow, that's like, I could have 7 million new clients. It didn't work out that way. But anyway... While I stopped eventually doing the co-share thing or running a co-share office, I did get into LinkedIn. And so, you know, just things happened really quickly. I got book offer and speaking and blah, blah, blah. And so fast forward almost 15 years, here we are.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Yeah. So 3 years ago, or almost 4 years ago now, I came together with three of my competitors, and we created Vengresso, which is the world's largest modern digital sales transformation company, which simply means that we help people utilize LinkedIn, basically getting them to hello. So we're not a sales training company. We're not going to help you with your clothes. There's lots of really great sales training companies out there that can do that. But we teach individuals, small business owners, corporations, enterprise sales teams, how to use LinkedIn to really get to that first hello. So for lead generation, for prospecting and lead generation.
And do you work with individuals, or do you go in for companies and work with sales teams, or...
Both. So we've got a product that individuals can access, and it's much less expensive than hiring us, which is selling with LinkedIn and selling with Sales Navigator and actually selling with video. But then the mainstay of our business is working with corporate sales teams. So either smaller sales teams or of 30 to 50 people. For SMBs, or we do a lot of verticals within corporations. So, you know, Juniper Group 1, Juniper Group 2, Juniper Group 3, Juniper Group 4, Juniper Group 5. I think we're on Juniper Group 10 right now. So,
oh, that's excellent. Yeah. And tell us, why does it work?
Yeah. And especially now, I mean, my heart breaks for companies who are struggling because of COVID-19, but being in digital sales transformation, it's worked for us because sales individuals who and business owners who have depended on things like meeting with clients, events, trade shows, just all of the, you know, traditional BDR business development type activities, that's shifted. And so we have to take all of that kind of online now. And it's funny, I had Corey McCarthy, who manages socio events, and we were talking on my LinkedIn Live this morning, and we were talking about, you know, how things have changed and how we've had to go virtual. And so one easy way to go virtual is simply do your networking on LinkedIn. But ironically, people, either it's the training they're getting or it's just not intuitive enough, but people get on LinkedIn and kind of forget all their good manners. And so what we do is teach people, you know, both how to represent themselves so that they look good, but also give them their manners back so that they're not just like waving their business cards essentially in business, in their prospects' faces via LinkedIn. And so that's basically what we do, is we teach people. We've got a six phase approach teaching these teams how to get into the right mindset, how to create the right personal brand, the best practices for engaging before you reach out to connect with individuals, how to keep feeding your network so you stay top of mind, and then how do you wrap it all together in a cadence. So that's basically what our sales training looks like. Essentially, we're just getting people to hello.
Right. And I think that's the funniest thing I've heard about LinkedIn. It was probably from you, that you wouldn't walk into a cocktail party and take somebody's business card and put in their face and say, this is me, buy from me. So why would you do that online?
Exactly. With a bag on your head, no less, right? Because their profile looks like crap. So,
right. It starts at hello.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So this is the Global Marketing Show. So we'll transition over to LinkedIn in international. Like,
yes.
I know research says that people want to do business and read content in their own language.
Yes.
So talk to me about what do you do there?
Yeah. And what I love is LinkedIn's pretty savvy about that. I think more so than any of the other socials. At least I haven't seen the type of features that LinkedIn has on the other socials. So the first thing I think that you want to do is go into settings and make sure that your profile is in the language that you want. So maybe, you know, you started your career in Italy and you started, you know, in your profile, you started writing your profile in Italian, but then you moved to Germany. Well, because you set up your profile originally in Italy, it's going to read that IP address and it's going to basically present the audience with Italian. But there's a bunch of things that you can do if you want it to be in German. So the first thing that you can do is go into your settings and privacy, and you can actually adjust your language so that, you know, you can kind of force it to be in the language that you want. So it's not going to start, you know, translating posts and things like that. So I'm trying to remember where it is right now. It's, I believe in, I was thinking it was in communications, but I'm not seeing that. We will get it. We will get it. I knew exactly where it was. And then LinkedIn decided to change all of its account preferences. So the whole thing.
If we weren't recording right now, you'd be
exactly
right on.
I know it right there. And you know what's ironic? It's literally the first setting under your profile information. So yeah, when you jump into LinkedIn and you go into your settings under account preferences, it's site preferences and it's language. Choose the language that you want to use on LinkedIn. And so make sure that that is the language that you use on LinkedIn. And if it's not, change it. And then that way you'll get your audience will get the right translation. So that's number one. And I don't think, I'm so glad I've had the opportunity to be on this podcast. And I'm actually, once it's published, we're going to put it in our learning portal, because we do work, you know, with people all over the world. And we don't have time to talk about this. And yet I think it is so important for our folks in other countries. So yes, go into your settings. Number one, go into profile information, site preferences, and make sure that your language is that the language that you select is actually the one that you want. So that is number one. Now, the cool thing also about LinkedIn is that you can create your profile in as many languages as you want. So I get that in the US, you know, we speak American and maybe a little Spanish, but most other countries in the world, you know, not only speak English, but French and Italian and Spanish and German, and then probably Mandarin and Hindi too. So you can actually create portions of your profile, basically the headline, the summary, the experience sections in multiple languages. So when you go to your profile, on the top right-hand side, you'll see your language, and then you might see a little, looks like a little globe icon. And if you click on that, it allows you to add other languages. And so you can add profile in another language. You're not creating a whole new profile. You're just creating different aspects of your profile. So I could, you know, if I spoke it, I could put Swedish in there. I have French, but you'll know when you look at the translation that I used a translation tool. You can, right, which you don't want to do. You really actually do want to speak the language and write the language. But anyway, if you speak and write the language, you can add your profiles in a different language. And then, so as you add the different languages, when you go into, say, the intro section, you're going to have the opportunity to rewrite your profile header or headline in French, in Spanish, in German, in as many different languages as you are comfortable writing in. But again, I tried doing this. I went to speak over in, it double failed. I was speaking over in Norway. And so I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to create my LinkedIn profile in Norwegian. So first of all, I use Google Translate, huge mistake, because I think anyone who does know about language translations knows it's not 100% accurate.
Right. We know that in the industry, yes. And it's finally starting to get around to the general public, but I'm still shocked at how many people do. So you use Google Translate for Norwegian. What happened?
Well, first of all, I had several people in the audience connect with me after and basically tell me how bad my profile was. And, you know, ironically, you know, here I am, the LinkedIn profile expert, like literally written two books on it. So yeah, that was a little humbling. And then also on the other end of that, I had a bunch of people reaching out to me speaking Norwegian, which I obviously don't understand. I can swear in Swedish, mind you, but I can't, I am not able to speak or read Norwegian. And so yeah, that backfired. And I believe you can do it on your company page too as well. So if you're, you know, if you've got your company page or if you manage your own company page, not everybody does, especially if you're working at a big multinational, but if you manage your own company page on LinkedIn, you can create, again, the different smaller areas, but the about section, the headline in different languages too. So that's kind of cool. When you go into your company page and you go into the edit section, edit intro section, you'll see at the very bottom, you have an opportunity to manage languages. So then you can add the language and you'll be able to rewrite your tagline and your description in those other languages.
Okay. So I have a company.
Yep.
And I have my LinkedIn company page. And I translated into the 5 languages I wanted to go in.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to do my social posts.
Yes.
Onto my page.
Yes.
So I have my English and I have my translation of 5 languages.
Right.
Tell me how to manage that.
Yeah. So that becomes a little bit more difficult because the branded static copy, LinkedIn's kind of figured that one out. The active engaging copy, like posts, updates, etc., that becomes a little bit of an issue. Now, LinkedIn has, like Facebook and Twitter and all the others, has a translation tool. So if you write it in English and someone comes in from a different IP address, that's how LinkedIn recognizes, oop, we got to do this in Spanish. Oop, we got to do this in Hindi. So as they come in from their different IP address, it will translate. It's not always the best translation. So if you know, you know, maybe you're really active with an English and a French audience. So for those two, you might, especially if you speak the language and it's easy for you, you might create the content in the two languages. Not only that, there's subtleties. It's funny, I'm watching on Netflix. It's so lightweighted, but I love Lily Collins anyway. And so I'm watching Emily in Paris. And
I just watched that.
Right? And she's in marketing. And she's working for this marketing firm. And there, and I remember when I lived in France, which is, I really, really should speak French, folks. Like, I'm Canadian, which means I grew up learning French languages. I lived in France for 5 summers. My best friend was French, and I don't speak French. But anyway, not well. So I'm watching Emily in Paris, and I'm like, oh, there are definitely some distinctions here. So there are times, and I don't know how PG this podcast is, so I'll tell you my one experience of this. But there are times when we say a word in English, and we think we excite, right? We think we know what it means in French, and it doesn't. And Google Translate might think it means that in French, and it doesn't. And so, you know, we have to, if you do speak the language, what I'm trying to say is go ahead and take the extra effort and write the post and preface the post or share the post in whatever language that you actually speak, with the nuances that you have. Now, you don't have to do it for every language. Like, maybe there's only a few Germans who jump on your page, or there's only, you know, a few Italians. But if your two main audiences are English and French, then I think you should be creating the content in both of those languages.
Okay, so when you create your French company page, then it also has a feed that you can go into when they're tied together.
Exactly. And yes, I was speaking about the company page feed, but of course your own personal feed as well, either way. Yeah. So both your company.
But don't those feeds marry together? Separated them out?
They've separated them out. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So if you are, now mind you, one of the things that I teach when I'm teaching social media and employee advocacy and employee engagement is use your LinkedIn profile, company page, almost as a content hub. So to that point, especially, you're going to want to create your posts in the different languages. If you have employees who are in different countries and speak different languages and have audiences in those different languages, then yeah, you might very well, and I don't see anyone doing this. And I think this would be an excellent practice. And I don't understand why some of our multinationals, you know, like Juniper, like Oracle, like all the big multinationals out there, why they're not doing this. But they should be creating content in the language of their, not only of their sellers, but of their buyers, so that the sellers can then go in to this LinkedIn company page and then disseminate or share that content outwards. And if it's just you, then you do that with your company page too. You can write your post first on your company page, go in there and then share it out to your personal audience on LinkedIn, where you'll always get more engagement. But yeah, I think that would be a great practice, and I would love to see more multinational companies doing it. But I only see content in English, mind you, because I'm coming at that, you know, company page from an English speaking ISP, but nonetheless, I should be seeing some posts in other languages, especially in companies that speak French primarily or Italian primarily, etc.
So the large multinational companies are not doing social content in multiple languages?
Not on LinkedIn. I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are on their other channels. And with LinkedIn, I'm sure there are some who are doing it. It's not something I've seen. Now, a lot of times
we have smaller companies that are doing it.
Right.
But the larger ones would have already been all over that.
You would think. Now, I'll give them a little bit of an excuse. A lot of big companies have showcase pages or sub pages for the different locations. So they might have Oracle Italy, Oracle Japan, Oracle, I don't know if this is true or not. I'm just making this up, but you know, Oracle Canada. And so, you know, maybe in those sub pages, they are writing in the language of their audience. But in the overarching mother father page, I don't see companies writing and sharing posts in general in different languages. And now this is LinkedIn only. Like I said, you know, there are more social networks, I understand, than LinkedIn. And so it's entirely likely Oracle has a French Oracle Twitter page where they're sharing everything in French. I'm just not seeing it on LinkedIn.
Okay, so talk to me about the structure of the sub pages. How is that different?
Yeah, so I have a love-hate relationship with the showcase or the sub pages. I think it's a good idea. And so like if we jump into Oracle, they've divided their, I don't know why I'm promoting Oracle today. It's just my husband works there. It's the first multinational that came to mind. I should be doing Juniper's, who's a client of ours. But when I jump into the Oracle company page, rather than subdividing by locations, they do by product. So you've got cloud, you know, Oracle Cloud, Oracle Marketing Cloud, Oracle University, blah, blah, blah. So they're called affiliate pages or sub pages, and they have like 4,000 of them. There's Oracle Japan. You know what? There's Oracle Japan. There's Oracle China. All right. I lied. So they do have them down the bottom. The problem, so that's great that you can divvy out and then share information to your niche audience who might be, you know, customer experience, might be hospitality, might be China, might be Japan. And I will say that Oracle China and Oracle Japan also have their names in the different alphabet too. It's just a lot of work to manage. So you got to get a community manager for those sub pages too. With sub pages, they look just like the regular pages now. They used to look significantly different, but the new sub pages on LinkedIn, you wouldn't really know you were on a sub page except for how you navigated there. And even the URL looks the same now. So it's linkedin.com/company/ in this case, Oracle-Japan. And so I'm going to take back what I said earlier because I'm scrolling through Oracle Japan and they actually, they're not only writing in Japanese, they're writing in Japanese.
Okay. So the sub pages all feed into the overall company page and then you can have a community manager.
No. That would make total sense. They are completely different. So you can get to the sub page from the main page, but literally that's all you can do is navigate over. But the sub page content is not automatically feeding into the main page unless a community manager actually manually then shares back to the main page, but it's not automatic, which is another reason why I'm not a hugest fan of sub pages, because it just, like I said, it takes a lot of management time.
Right. But I mean, so does global marketing. So if you're really—
Well, yes, India, this is true. Good point.
For one person to manage each country, you're usually going to have
a country manager. A whole team, exactly.
And a team that's going to report in. But the last time I had looked at LinkedIn, there I don't remember seeing sub pages. It was like you had to create, you know, Oracle or Juniper. Yeah. Then you had to create Juniper Japan, then Juniper. So they didn't all feed into each other. So you didn't get the build of activity and the algorithm leading to a popular page. So
it sounds
like they built that in now.
Kind of. But again, they're navigatable through the company page, but I don't know how much, because they still are very separate. They're there. You can see them under affiliated pages on the right-hand side of the main page, but I can't think of any content that actually crosses over.
Right. Which makes sense because that's the other thing is we've had clients say, well, what if we just keep one company page, but all the different languages on there? I'm like, well, you're not going to want to do that because You've got the English speakers that are going to be mad about not being able
French
to
and
then the Germans and the Japanese, you know, nobody wants to go where they have to weed through
and scroll through all of that content. Yeah, exactly.
So I like that you keep it separate, that then you load it in, but it does take,
because now you got to build that whole audience, right? Because you start at zero. You don't, you know, LinkedIn isn't smart enough to go, okay, Juniper Network. So let's see Juniper Eurasia. And, you know, it's not going to automatically pull or duplicate the followers from, you know, the followers of Juniper into Juniper Eurasia. So you've got to, you're starting at zero. But
as you can,
your point, eventually it'll get there.
What?
Eventually it'll get there.
Right, but if you set your language up to Japanese on your LinkedIn profile, is it more likely to push you to Juniper Japanese subpage?
I don't have the answer for that. That would make a whole lot of sense. Yeah. If someone who's listening, so if anyone's listening to this, from Japan and actually Juniper doesn't have a Japanese page. So go to Oracle, do a search on Oracle and see which Oracle shows up first. If it's Oracle Japan or just Oracle, that would be super interesting to hear feedback on. That would make total logical sense to me, but I don't know that LinkedIn's that logical.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot of international followers on our LinkedIn.
I would love to hear that.
Yeah. We'll take that clip out and post it on LinkedIn and ask people to do it and tell us what they see.
Yes. Let's turn it into a poll. That's a great idea.
Okay. Okay.
Awesome.
Yes, very good. Yeah. So what about if you're coaching an individual who speaks English and Spanish?
Yep.
And they have a LinkedIn page for both. Talk to me.
Yeah, and that's fine. You know, that's fine. And I think, you know, I think for an individual sharing content, and if they've got a 50-50%, and I have seen this, so yay individuals, boo companies, yay individuals. I definitely see company or individuals within companies sharing content and then actually writing it in both languages. Ironically enough, our company, we've got several of our employees live in Colombia, Bogota, Medellin, I think just Bogota and Medellin right now. And you will see them posting in both English and in Spanish.
Huh, that's interesting.
It's Spanish, right? Yeah. Not Portuguese. No, it's Spanish. It's Spanish, right? Brazil is Portuguese.
You're right. Yeah.
And they're also like, I know this is politically totally incorrect, but oh my God, we have the best looking sales team. They're all, and you know, the men and women, they're all just beautiful. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation, but yeah, but not only that, I see our clients too. They'll speak in the language or they'll write and share posts in the language of their audience. And one of the things Juniper is doing, I hope I'm not oversharing here, but they use the same tool we use, Everyone Social, for employee advocacy. And so they'll also, in their Everyone Social, they have a feed in, I know at least in Spanish, and they might have a feed in different languages, I'd have to look, but they actually have a feed for to do a company page as into Everyone Social, which is employee advocacy tool, and they can go into the different language feeds as well as the different vertical feeds and then share content to their audiences that way. So they don't have to necessarily use LinkedIn as a content hub in that case.
Oh, okay. So that's really smart. I was going to ask about what are you seeing in that area? So the marketing people create the content, they translate it, they upload it into Everyone Social. Yeah. And then individuals can go in and pick their language and share.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like clicking on the share button. It's that easy.
Okay. And so that's what we're seeing a lot of too, is people have to have a company page, but it really is that individual branding that is going to help the company.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. If you can get your individuals, I mean, in fact, I have a course on it on LinkedIn Learning Employee Advocacy. If you can get your employees, not just your salespeople and your marketers, although that makes the most sense, but the more you can get your multinational employees, and it's way easier if you use employee advocacy tool, but you can do this through email too or forums. But if you can get them to start promoting the content of your company, just think about it. Like, if there are 500,000 people following, you know, Juniper, big company, but if they have, maybe 20,000 employees, maybe more, maybe less, but those 20,000 employees, you know, probably have more than 200 or 300 connections each, meaning that their network, the combined network of the employees, is exponentially bigger than the people following your company page. Plus, Gartner just shared some research, and you know, for sure, people trust individual voices, even if it's the salesperson's voice. But for sure, people trust individual voices over brand message.
Okay, which makes sense, and particularly if it's an employee and they like it, they work there and they're saying things. Or send
exactly.
Now, right.
Yeah. And what I love, I mean, one of the things I teach as well, to take it beyond, you know, the one to many, the awareness model that we've basically been talking about this whole time, the public model of content. But when a salesperson, and this is so easy to do in different languages, when a salesperson is having one-on-one conversation via LinkedIn messaging, email, whatever, phones, voice messages, obviously they're going to, if they're able to, speak to the client in their own language, and they're going to write or speak or video message in their own language and then pull the materials in that are relevant to that individual, usually in consideration or purchasing phase and of the buyer's journey. And so, you know, as marketers, we need to step back and think about that modern buyer's journey and what our salespeople are doing and how they're engaging in different languages with the buyers who also speak different languages, and go, all right, are we replicating that? Is there a way for us to replicate sharing content out? And we've already talked about a couple ways of doing that. Using an employee advocacy tool is a super easy way to do that, because you can take care of it. The marketing team can take care of it, and then it's just a matter of pressing a button. But you might have to do it through a forum. You might have to do it through email. You might have to find some other method of creating content hubs for your audience. But I mean, for your salespeople, their audience. But think about where salespeople are doing. And then the other thing I would highly recommend, never mind languages, you should do this anyway. You know, marketing teams should have a take your salesperson to lunch day, and sales teams should have a take your marketing person to lunch day. And, right? And mind you, you're going to have to, you know, eat your lunch over Zoom right now, probably in most cases, unless you're in Australia. But that would be an awesome time for marketing and sales individuals to get to know each other better and ask those questions like, so what are some cultural differences? Like, what would be a total absolute, we cannot do that in Japanese culture, whereas in American culture, like, we do that all day long, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Right. And so what can we do?
Yeah. And that's a lot. I mean, that we work a lot with that in the translation. So when the marketing department's creating the content and send it to the translator, they can learn from salespeople.
Yes.
But there's so many little subtle things. So in the translation area, that's where you've got to have that feedback loop of, look, you wrote that, it's not going to work. So that's another catch-all for, you know, making sure it's quality.
Well, and 100%, and you know, I use DeepL, which is better than Google Translate, but it's still not going to catch those nuances. And I mean, we've seen, right? I think there's a meme going around Facebook right now about, you know, he thought he was saying, you know, I love you, you are my heart, but really he was talking about oral sex. So, so it's... You know, you gotta be careful and get those nuances down. Sometimes it should be an asante gu instead of an asante greve, right?
Right. There you see, you do know the French.
I can't believe I pulled that out of my
Yes, there's so many things. And even if you're using something in one Spanish-speaking country to another,
Yeah.
Language to language, but also culture. And you know, I love the example of y'all are wicked smart. I mean, we say that in the U.S. I mean, you laugh because it just doesn't go together.
Right. You got Boston in the South, right?
Yeah. So it's understanding. So what kind of mistakes have you seen people make? I mean, are you close to see mistakes with multilingual marketing across LinkedIn?
You know, honestly, I don't think people are, I think the biggest mistake is people aren't doing it enough. So that I don't see enough multilingual marketing to actually see the mistakes because people just aren't doing it enough. I would say probably, you know, I will get people reaching out to me and to use a Southern euphemism, bless their precious hearts. They, they try to speak English and reach out and, you know, request to connect. And, you know, yay you for at least trying. But of course, the language is so, the translation is so bad that it's just, you can't accept it. In fact, I did a training just a couple, maybe a month ago for a Chinese company. And, you know, especially in China, Amazon's big there, right? And so we were talking about how can you create better branding when you're going to start engaging with a US audience and what, you know, because we've all seen just how bad that can be. And you're going to lose people, you're going to lose credibility and respect immediately if you've got a bad translation. So, you know, and even the website had some issues on it, had some bad translations on it. I'm like, you know, you've got to hire an American or at least an English speaker to help you write your profile, your website, your copy, your whatever, because, you know, obviously the translation tools, even for something as permanent and central as a website, the copy was wrong. So that if I see any consistent mistake, it's translations that are inaccurate. But you know what? Bless you for trying.
That's how I feel.
Which is more than most Americans will do. So I'm just saying.
So true. So true.
Where's the bathroom? Like, just learn to say, ou la toilette.
Oh my gosh, listen to your French. You're pulling it out all over the place.
Like literally all I know.
So, you know, on that with the people that speak American, from your entry. I hear many times, well, English is the global language, so why bother translating that?
You know, yes, and most business is done in English, but don't you, the arrogance. I mean, it's like, don't you want to try to align with your buyer? And one of the great ways of aligning with your buyer, if you can, is speak their language. You know, if I'm going to move to France, like Emily in Paris, I'm going to be on Boozoo. I'm going to be learning I'm going to be brushing up on my French. I'm going to be doing French as a second language. You know, I'm going to be talking to my French friends. I'm going to be creating French community. I'm going to learn French and I'm learning it quickly because I'm in your country. And so if you, you know, if you speak French, if you're my French client, I am going to try to engage with you in French, at least try, especially if France is one of my main markets. Now, if I have one French speaking client out of 400, you know, okay, I'm going to hire someone else who can help me with that. But I think it's arrogant for English speaking salespeople just to assume everyone speaks English, so it should be good enough.
That is one of the best definitions or problems I've heard of it, because marketers spend so much time saying, speak to your buyer, trying to get the messaging right. And then if you're going to speak to somebody who doesn't speak English, even if you have the message perfectly crafted, you've just missed a huge thing.
You've missed an opportunity. You've just missed, you know, one of the techniques and of course it's better if you speak the language, but one of the techniques that we teach our clients is when you're researching a prospect's profile, see what languages they speak And if you happen to speak another language different from English that they also speak, just if you don't write the whole invitation to connect in that, maybe the salutation, right? Salut, or maybe one or two sentences like, you know, j'habille en Paris pour 600, well, obviously I didn't live in Paris for 6 years, but you know. But you know, like just try to pull in a little phrase here or there that will do so much towards getting the person to click on, yes, I accept that invitation. And yes, I'm willing to have another conversation with you.
That's great advice. Just because oftentimes I'll hear, you know, pick up something like their school or, you know, coach soccer or, you know, you worked at the same company, but that's exactly it. You put a little bit of language in there and you've just opened the door.
You're literally speaking their language, people. You're literally speaking their language.
You can get the message wrong at that point because you got the language right.
Exactly.
What do you think your clients' biggest fears are with doing business in other languages?
I think it's messing up. No one likes to make mistakes. I mean, it was like you should have seen the many shades of red I turned when, you know, I was addressed. And you know, Norwegians are so polite. So they did it in such a gentle and polite way. But nonetheless, you know, and it was like, okay, I got to fess up. I use Google Translate. I don't actually speak Norwegian. So, you know, which is not to say it's not a good idea to make the effort. I think most people, though, are scared of looking dumb, scared of looking stupid, scared of putting something out there that maybe, you know, will get criticized. But that being said, you know, make the effort. Maybe not Parisians, but most people will appreciate it.
Oh, I think Parisians appreciate it. I mean, that's what they get mad at people who don't speak their language. But if you're trying,
maybe
all internal, but
maybe in the provinces. No, it's funny because I'm thinking back to, and okay, I will be 100% honest. I've never had a Parisian or any other French person be super rude to me. I know that's just a stereotype that they promote in Emily in Paris.
Oh, they're all over that stereotype. And she sticks with it.
she does. I mean, that girl's got some fortitude, I will say.
Yes. Fortitude and brain, creative brains and problem solving.
Exactly right.
Be nice to be the salesperson that wins every deal, but yes.
Oh my God, right? Sure, I'm just going to show up and you're going to, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, talking about that messing up, we had a business school classmate of mine, Gary Giles. He was working at a company, had to do a presentation to a bunch of Japanese speakers. So he called me up and he's like, can you translate this into Japanese, but don't give it to me in characters, give it to me phonetically, because I'm going to deliver a speech in Japanese.
Wow, that's impressive to make that. Yeah, but the character, oof.
He did it and it was so successful.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was really, really impressed with him coming up with the idea and then being able to do
that. Doing it phonetically, yeah.
Yeah, I think he practiced a lot.
That is awesome. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is sign language... is there English sign language, French sign language, Japanese sign, or is sign language its own language? In fact, so if we all use sign language, we would understand each other.
Yeah, there are differences.
Crap.
Country.
I thought I had the solution.
But the smile is recognized.
The smile is
That's the international language. There you go. Yeah, and the one, I'm a scuba diver, and that was the point that I really thought, wouldn't it be nice to know sign language? Because you'd be down there and having a full conversation with somebody. Yeah, nice fish. I'm out of air.
Exactly. When I first started diving, you know, this and this mean two different, or no one's
so the thumbs up thumbs
and
up.
The okay sign, right? Because thumbs up is I'm out of air. I got to get up to the surface compared to the okay sign. And I was doing that all the time. Like, yeah, I'm great. I'm like, no. That's right. A good example of like two completely different things.
It is. And then it gets interesting because those gestures can be offensive in some countries.
Right.
So I haven't been scuba, I've been scuba diving in France, but I haven't been in other countries where those gestures, so I've often wondered, gesturing different?
Yeah, in Malaysia, are you going to have a different gesture for to the surface than,
I don't know. So how would you recommend a company get started with multilingual LinkedIn?
Yeah, so I think I've changed my mind since we started this broadcast. I think it would, if you have enough of an audience in another country, it'd be worth making those subpages and then creating content specifically in the language of those subpages. If you don't have enough of an audience in those different locations, but you've got at least some people out there, then definitely go into your existing company page and at least change it so when they come in on their IP address, they're reading the branding part of your profile in their language. So that would be one thing I would definitely recommend. Additionally, let your employees know that there is a little tool or feature that will allow you to create your same profile, but in multiple languages so that they are addressing their audience in the right language. And then I would encourage those probably salespeople and marketers who know that they are marketing and selling to a different culture, different language, to have the conversation with the leadership and with the marketing team so that you make sure that you are doing everything in a culturally correct way, so there are no big issues. And then if you can afford to, and if your company's big enough to warrant it, I would definitely recommend using a tool like Gaggleamp, Everyone Social. Those are the two big ones where you can create feeds for your employees in the different languages so that it's super easy for them to go in, find the feed, and then share in the language of choice with their audience.
Excellent. Okay, that's fabulous advice right there to get companies started. All right, let's get to know you a little bit better.
Okay.
Favorite vacation?
Any? You know, we just didn't know how good we had it. I'm like you. I'm a scuba diver and I'm a hang glider pilot, and so I can't just go sit on a beach. I mean, I have to be in the water diving. So really, we had an amazing dive trip planned for it was March of this year. That didn't happen. So that would have been my favorite trip to date. I think.
Where were you going to go?
Maldives.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we are going to, we do have another trip planned for next year. So we'll see. But I just love getting to other countries and other cultures. I was fortunately able to go to New Zealand and Australia. And so before all this hit, and we were able to go diving at the Poor Knights in New Zealand, which was awesome. And I like countries that have other cultures, but they still primarily understand English.
But they've
primarily understand English. Australia, New Zealand, Canada, England. No, I love other countries too. I love going to, I do. I love traveling to other cultures. I think it's a crime that as Americans, our children don't get to enjoy other cultures because it's hard. It's expensive and it's hard sometimes to get to other countries. But I just wish our children had the experience of other cultures like European children do, right. Because it's also close together. It's super easy to get to France or Italy or, Spain. But that's, I love my overseas travel. So I can't pick necessarily one. My next one, that's going to be my favorite one.
All right. I understand that too. Yeah. Cause I like the daydreaming about what's coming.
Oh
up,
yeah. Like, yeah.
Anticipation. Yeah.
Exactly. And just, you know, the foods and the, as my husband calls them, the bath condiments and like all the cool things that are different that maybe like, I love that I can try something that I've never done before.
Yeah.
You know, or I could taste yeah. something that I've never tasted before. Yeah. That's, you know, that's so exciting. You could do that in Louisiana too, mind you, but.
Right, right. There is a lot of places. I mean,
in the US where you could do that.
I take me and drop me in a country where they don't speak yep. the language and I'm happy as a clam.
Yeah, yeah, truly. Yeah. I mean, it is. It's just, it's so, it just gets the blood rushing in a good way, you know?
Right. Yeah. All right. How about your most rewarding cross-cultural experience and work?
I think it was my first international speaking gig. And it was in Oslo. And first of all, like I got to speak with people who were way bigger than I was in the industry. So I'm like, ooh, ooh, you know, can I touch you? But that's rude. So I didn't actually say that, but it was really cool.
Well, it would have been safe then though.
It would have been. That's true. So they held the, it was the Rethink conference and they held it at the post office. It used to be the old post office and now it was an event center, but they had the Aquavit room. And so that was the green room for the speakers. So we could hang out there and chat, but they had these tapped kegs of Aquavit. And so like we weren't supposed to, but we were totally tapping in of tasting. And it was so much, it was like better than Linea, you know, it was just so good. So that combination of, it was my first international gig. They actually paid me. I stayed in this really cool hotel. The event center was so cool. The other speakers were like, oh, and I got to hang out and have dinner with them. Oh my God, the dinner they took us to that night, incomparable. I mean, I have not eaten or been at a restaurant as nice since. Just the whole walking around, and like you, I tried, Oslo is pretty safe. So I try to get lost and then find my way back. And back then, you know, it was super expensive. So I didn't have my cell signal on because I didn't use my phone because it was like $40 a minute. So, but yeah, getting lost and then finding myself. And then as you get lost, you know, yes, you get to see all the cool stuff, but you get to see these little neighborhoods too. And I just love doing that. And then I found out they had the mass murder 2 weeks earlier, but
oh, well, you survived.
But yeah, so that was, oh my gosh, that was just so amazing. And then of course the people were, you know, the kindest, nicest folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Colombia, they're better looking, but Norway, they're nice, huh?
No, you know, Norway, they're pretty good looking too. That's a pretty good looking bunch of people in Norway. Yeah, I can't wait. You know, we hired our Colombian team after COVID hit. So we did have a plan to go. We were supposed to go to Colombia in March, to Medellin in March, and that got canceled. So like, I cannot wait until we actually... Yeah. Can travel down and have our first, you know, company-wide meeting in Medellin, and I can actually meet these face-to-face, these amazing people. Plus, like, half of them are chefs, so we're going to eat really well.
Oh, man.
I know. Jack, our COO, is like, you know, he's like, I want to say Medellin now. That's not medallion. What's the word I'm looking for? The French star. The meh. All I can think of is Medellin. What am I thinking of? The French star, anyway, he's one of those.
Yes. Okay. I know.
It's the language thing again. The people listen are like, oh, it's the blah, blah, blah.
All right.
We can hear you.
In the comments below.
We can hear you.
All right, so we're coming up on the end of time. What final recommendations do you have?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with all things, and it's especially pertinent because of the topic here, you just need to be human. you know, yes, LinkedIn is a channel and it's a platform, but you want to try to be as much yourself and do as much on the platform as you would in real life. So you don't want to like shove your business card in someone's face. You want to try and build that relationship first. And a good way of doing that is actually speaking the person's language. So that's just common sense and yet lacking in much LinkedIn engagement.
Yes. Yes, it sure.
And please invite me to connect. Make sure to customize the invitation and don't worry about English. I would love for you to invite me to connect in your language, but just reference this show.
There you go.
Right. Or Wendy's name so I can recognize something, but I would love those invitations in your language.
Okay. So what's your LinkedIn? Let's go there.
If you Google LinkedIn expert, you'll find me, but it's linkedin.com/in/LinkedIn expert. linkedin.com/in/LinkedIn expert.
Oh, okay. So that's your name is LinkedIn expert.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you can also Google Vivica Von Rosen. Both of them bring up my LinkedIn profile first.
Oh, okay. Well, this has been absolutely fantastic talking to you. I really
so fun. And then we get to do it again next week.
Yes. Yes. You'll be hosting me on your LinkedIn Live.
I will be. Yes.
Okay. So what's the date with that? That would be the 21st. Today's the 16th. What's 16 plus 7?
Plus 23rd? 20. I don't know. I don't do math. I'm in marketing and sales. I don't do math. It's the 23rd. Again, everybody, you know, everyone in the audience is like, I can't remember. 23.
Vantois.
Of course. Because I'm not Vantois anymore.
No, neither am I. And I don't know if I would want to be right now.
I know. Lord, no.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for listening today. I hope you learned something. I had a very enjoyable time. So hopefully you had a good laugh too. Tell somebody you know about this podcast, particularly if they're trying to get better on LinkedIn. And you can find it on all your favorite places to listen. So we will talk to you next time.
That's a wrap for this session. A big thanks to you for listening to the Global Marketing Show. Hope you had just as much fun as I did. New sessions launch weekly on all places you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and of course on our website. If you know someone interested in this topic, please tell them about us. Au revoir for now.